Amen. And that's what we're going to talk about today is seeing examples of people spreading the gospel, sharing the good tidings, the good news that Jesus saves. If we can turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. The Bible says in Romans 10:15, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful are those feet that bring the gospel of peace and bring good, glad tidings of good things. Now, tidings is just news. In God's sight, in a Christian sight, how beautiful are those feet of the people that are bringing that message that Jesus saved, those glad tidings of good things. It's a good thing to preach the gospel. And today we're going to see two groups bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to other people in the world. And we're going to see that it's important for us to hear that gospel. And that's the first step, is for us to hear the gospel, but then to believe the gospel, but believe on Jesus Christ for salvation. When we have done that, we need to go now and tell the gospel to others, to share the good news with others that Jesus saves. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:13, that in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So we hear the word of truth, we hear the gospel of our salvation, and after that we can believe. We can trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. But it starts with hearing the good news, with hearing the glad tidings of good things, as we just read. And God has entrusted that gospel to us. He's entrusted the sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel, to you and to I and to every Christian that's ever lived. He one time brought the angels to the shepherds and told them the good tidings of great joy. He brought to Paul an angel. But for the most part, it has been people telling the good news to other people. And according to the Bible, if we would stop, you know, sharing the gospel, if a generation would stop and people do not hear the gospel anymore, could anybody be saved? No, there's one name under heaven whereby all men must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ. We can't be saved by just living a good life. We have to be saved by hearing the gospel, believing on that, and calling upon the name of the Lord. So it's incumbent on us to share the good news. And today we're going to learn from the example of two groups that are sharing the good news. So we're in Luke chapter 2. We'll begin with verse 8. If you'd stand with me if you're able. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. We'll read through verse 20. We're going to look at these good tidings that the angels brought to the shepherds and then the shepherds took abroad. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. God's word says this: "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." If you'd bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the good news that was given to the shepherds, the good news that the shepherds voiced abroad, the good news that we heard. And after we heard it, we believed. And after that, we were sealed by your Holy Spirit. So I thank you for this message that we'll look at today, this message that was first proclaimed by the angel Gabriel. And so I ask that you watch over us today as I preach, as we all learn, as I learn, as we study your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So verse 8 says, and there were in the same country shepherds. So somehow we need to know what country they're in. What area were they in? It's in the same country as what? Bethlehem. Because that's where Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem. Because of the taxing that was decreed by Caesar Augustus, they had to go to their own city. And because they were of the house and lineage of David, they went to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. In that same country, in that roundabout that area, there were shepherds around Bethlehem. Now we've looked at, and the Bible talks about, shepherds that were around Bethlehem. Amos was a shepherd. He was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit from Tekoa, which is about 6 miles south of Bethlehem. So Amos was a shepherd from around Bethlehem. David, he was a shepherd. His hometown was Bethlehem. He was a shepherd in these same hills that these shepherds were at now. David was a shepherd around Bethlehem. Moses was a shepherd. Not around Bethlehem exactly, but Moses was. A lot of times in the Bible we read of these shepherds. Jesus himself said, I am the good shepherd, right? And so we think shepherd must be a highfalutin job, but it's not. Okay, that wasn't where the educational elite went and said, I'm going to get my education to go live out in the fields with sheep and a few other guys. I'm not going to see my family if I have family. No, I'm not going to see my wife. I'm going to live out here with these sheep and I'm going to have to work the midnight shift. You know, you get paid differential pay if you work midnight shift because it's not as good. So these guys, they weren't like at the top of the totem pole as far as jobs. But yet, nevertheless, God used shepherds, did he not? God also in the Bible used kings. God used priests. He used, you know, people in the church, but he used tax collectors. God used, you know, people that were educated like Paul, but God used fishermen. So God uses all kinds of people. And here we see God using these shepherds. He is not impressed with credentials and somebody's job title the way we are. I mean, no matter what, I think we try not to, but still, if somebody comes in, they have a job, they say, well, I fly, you know, Air Force One. We say, oh man, this, and we'd all be telling each other, this guy flies air, he flies the president around. We'd be kind of impressed with that. Because we respect men, we respect those kind of things. God's not impressed with our credentials, is he? God doesn't care whether you're a shepherd or you fly Air Force One. God's not impressed with how we earn a living. Because God doesn't look on outward appearance, God looks on the heart. And so God looked at these shepherds' hearts. He evidently saw something good in these hearts. He knew that if they came and were given the message, they were going to go and see with haste, and they were going to go noise this abroad. They were going to share this message. They were the first ones that received this good news, these good tidings of great joy, which were to be for all people. And so they were keeping watch over the flock by night. Verse 9 tells us, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The Bible says the angel, and in my prayer I said Gabriel. It doesn't say Gabriel, but I do think it was Gabriel. So that's why I slipped up, because I kind of looked back saying, who is this? Because it says the angel, like we should know him. If we go back to Luke chapter 1, verse 11, the first time we see this angel, Luke chapter 1, verse 11, it says, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord. It's just an angel. We don't know him yet. Verse 13, this angel said what was his first thing? Fear not, Zacharias. He told him to fear not. In verse 19, we see that the angel answered and said, I am Gabriel. So it was an angel that said, fear not. Then he said, I am Gabriel. We come to verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel, Gabriel, was sent. So again, now he's the angel, it's Gabriel. Same angel that was here at the first, he's there now. Verse 30, the angel said unto her, fear not. So we get him saying the same thing, this angel. Verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, who's this angel? Gabriel. Then we get to see in Luke, he covers Mary and Elizabeth and Zacharias and John the Baptist's birth. Then Joseph and Mary traveling to Bethlehem. And then we see the angel of the Lord in verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord, chapter 2, verse 9, came upon them. And the first thing he says in verse 10 is, fear not. So just as this is traveling along, I believe it's Gabriel. It doesn't really make a lot of difference either way. But this angel, Gabriel, I think was a bearer of this good news. And he got to tell it to Mary. He got to tell it to Joseph. He got to tell it to Zacharias. He was involved in this big time. He comes and says, Fear not. Right? But we'll come back to that in just a little bit. Verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. So he saw these shepherds, we don't know how many there were, but they got to see an angel. The angel of the Lord came to them. That's a pretty amazing sight. Sometimes in the Bible, though, the angels could look just like men. You know, if people didn't know, you know, when the angels came into Sodom, the people didn't know they were really angels. Maybe they looked a little different, but they looked like men. But here, there was something else than just the angel. It says, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. So there was more than one shepherd, and all around them the glory of the Lord shone. In Exodus 24, in Exodus 24:17, when the Israelites were wandering through the desert, the Bible says, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. So the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on a mountain. That was the glory of the Lord. In Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 4, then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. So in the Old Testament, we see the Lord's glory being this bright, like a devouring fire, this cloud of brightness. When Solomon was dedicating the temple, the Bible says, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. It's like a fire, a consuming fire, this brightness, this glory of the Lord. It was a great light. And that's what these shepherds saw. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21. The very end of your Bibles. Revelation 21, the next to last chapter in your Bible. So we see this glory of the Lord being this bright, shining light. Revelation 21. And in Revelation 21, God's describing where we will live as Christians, as followers of Christ, where we will live for eternity. On a new heaven, in a new earth, with a new heaven, with a new Jerusalem. This place where we will live forever and ever. And describing it in verse 22, we read, and I saw no temple therein. There's going to be no temple where we will live forever. There's not going to be a place we go to worship. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Who's the Lamb? Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, they are the temple. There's no need of a temple. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So from Exodus, from really the beginning when God said, let there be light before the sun, there was no need of the sun from the very beginning of creation, because God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. To Revelation 21, there's no need of the sun and the moon because the glory of God did brighten it. To all the times in the Old Testament when this glory of God came, it was a shining light. That's what came to these shepherds. And so the shepherds, an angel came to them, and the glory of God, of the Lord, shone round about them. So this brightness out here on this hillside, or out in the countryside, at night, a boring night, watching the sheep, and all of a sudden you got an angel, and you got this bright light. Now that, I don't know, you know, what we would think. So that would scare you. And the Bible says they were sore afraid. They were very afraid. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. So Gabriel had this message over and over. This angel here, if it's Gabriel, okay, had the same message over and over, to fear not. And really in the Bible, in the New Testament, Jesus is the only other one that had that message. He said, fear not. You know, don't fear to hunger, because you're of more value than many sparrows. Don't fear about your clothing. Don't fear about your circumstances in life. Don't fear man. Fear not what man shall do to you, but fear the one that has the power to cast your soul into hell. So Jesus said over and over, fear not. These angels, these messengers from God came to say, fear not. We should not fear death. We should not fear going hungry. We should not fear where we're going to, you know, how we're going to clothe ourselves. Because God says He will clothe us as His people. We're not to fear man. We're not to fear the unknown. We're only to fear God. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us the spirit of fear. We're not to worry and be afraid and think about what's going to happen tomorrow. All these things, those are things that in our flesh we want to do. But God says, fear not. Just like the angel said, fear not. We don't have to fear these things. But in all things, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Instead of fear, we should pray. If there's stuff that we don't know what's going to happen and we're saying this could happen and we don't know, you know, we want rock not to hit his head. Instead of walking around afraid, just let that request be made known unto God. So as Christians, we do not have to fear. That's a message throughout the New Testament. We just fear God, him only that shall we serve. We fear God, we don't fear anything else. We pray. We're praying people. So here he said, fear not. Jesus had that message. Fear not. And the angel said, behold, I bring you good tidings. Good tidings. That means good news. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The angel brought to them the first time that the gospel was pronounced after Jesus was born. This good news. And gospel means good news. And this gospel is something that the angel had joy about, and that we should have joy about, and that brings joy to everybody, can bring joy to the world, right? It should bring joy. We should have joy in sharing the gospel. Jesus came, he said, ask that ye may receive, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. As Christians, we should have joy. We can have joy because the gospel that we have believed in, the gospel that we have received, the gospel that we're trusting Jesus Christ, that is a good tidings of great joy. So whenever we find ourselves not having joy, we can go back to the facts. The facts of the gospel, the fact of what Jesus came and did for us, the facts of where we reside in relationship with God, that we are now reconciled to him through Jesus Christ, and the facts of what our future is, so we can have great joy. The gospel brings great joy. No matter what our circumstances on earth here, we can have great joy. Paul could have great joy whether he's in prison or not. He could have great joy whether he had a thorn in the flesh or not. With this gospel, this good news, these good tidings bring great joy. And it should still bring us joy. Right? Sometimes as Christians, when we first believe, when we first become a Christian, we have great joy. I mean, we're excited. We're excited about what Jesus did for us. We're excited about the Bible, about all these new things. I mean, I could not, you know, get enough of reading and just, what is it? Because everything was new. I mean, when you read through Luke, it was like reading it the first time. Everything's new. But things, you can lose that joy. We can lose that. Look at Psalm 51, if you would. Psalm 51. We don't want to lose that joy. And we have to, I believe, work to keep that joy. We're commanded to. I don't know, we're commanded to. We need to keep the joy of our salvation. Psalm 51. Psalm 51. And this is David, after his sin, his grievous sin against Uriah, against the Lord. Look at Psalm 51, beginning in verse 10. Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me, and this is a prayer we can pray. You know, if we have, we know we sinned against God. It's all of Psalm 51 is repentance. Coming to God, asking forgiveness, and showing our contrite heart. Yeah, but look at verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Look at that in verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I believe we can ask God, if we've lost some of that joy that we know we had when we were saved, that we know we had when it was new to us, we can pray that. Restore unto me, God, the joy of thy salvation. Because we should always have joy when we think about what God did for us and what we have been given that we in no wise deserved. And so this good news of great joy needs to be spread abroad. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which is just for you shepherds. Which is just for the Jews. No. Which is just for men. Which is just for you know, a certain age. No, it says, which shall be to all people. All people. Whosoever hears the gospel and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Not just the rich. Not just the poor. Not just those that grew up in a religious family. Not just those that didn't. It's for all people. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:4 that God, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. God's not willing that any should perish. And so this message is for all people. It's good news for all people. Now follow me here. We go to verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, that's Bethlehem, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The good news is that now has been born a Savior. The good news is that now you have a Savior. And that good news is to all people. A Savior has been born. Who needs a Savior? Somebody that's lost. Somebody that's dying. Somebody that cannot save themselves needs a Savior. The Bible says this good news of a Savior is for all people. Do all people need a Savior? Yes, all people are lost. All people are dying. All people cannot save themselves. Not one. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. So this Savior, we know again here, it is good news for all people, for all have sinned. All have sinned. So all need this Savior. Now if somebody comes to me, let's say a traveling salesman comes and knocks on the door, I open up and says, good news, good news. I'm like, okay, good, come on in. Right? So he steps, comes into our house, good news, I got great news for you. I can now, I got this revolutionary way to, you know, help you read. Like, well, I can already read, you know. But it's a great phonics-based something, I can help you read. I'd be like, well, thank you, but I can already read. It's not really good news to me, is it? Because I can already read. It could be good news to somebody that cannot read. But it's not good news to all people, because some people can already read on their own. So, in order for this to be good news to all people, this message must apply to all people. All people must need a Savior. And this goes into, then, what is the gospel? Because if the gospel was just Jesus Christ can come and He can help you with your life, He can turn your life around. And a lot of times we think that, no matter what we think, we see somebody down and out. Somebody that maybe is on drugs. Somebody that's recovering from something. Somebody that's, you know, their family's torn apart. Somebody that's downtrodden. We say, they need Jesus Christ. And what's in our mind thinking? We're thinking, well, because that could turn their life around. These 90 years on earth. And they do need Jesus Christ if they don't know Him. But is that the gospel, that Jesus can come and He can get you picked up, He can get you back on your feet, He can get you a good job, He can get you a house, He can put together your family, He can give you that car? Is that the message of Jesus Christ? No, because that wouldn't be good news to all people. It cannot be the gospel, because it's not good news to all people. Can you tell that to Barack Obama? Can you say, knock on the White House, sir, you know, I got a great news for you. I can turn your life around. He can say, my life's pretty good. I'm pretty popular, aren't I? I got elected twice. You know, I live in a pretty big house. I can travel all over the world. I'm pretty rich. I got a family. I mean, what more does he need, you know, worldly speaking? So that can't be the gospel, because then we would only go to the poor. We would only go to those that are down on their luck. But that's not the gospel. That's not the good news. The good news, the gospel, is that a Savior has been born. And the only people that need a Savior are those that are lost, those that are dying, those that cannot save themselves. And that, the Bible says in verse 10, is all people. So that is the gospel. If we're going to go forth like the angel first came and told the shepherds, and then we're going to see the shepherds go forth and share this with others, we have to make sure we have the true gospel. And the true gospel is that a Savior has been born. There's a Savior that came into this world. People say, why do I need a Savior? Because you're lost. Because all have sinned. It has to start with our lost state before God, with our sin. And then it makes sense. The Savior makes sense. But the gospel has to do with our salvation. It has to do with eternity, not just temporal things on earth. Not just getting a better car or turning your life around. We'll hear those things on TV. And probably subliminally, you know, inside, we kind of think those things. That somebody that's down on the luck needs Christ more than somebody that's doing good in the CEO of a business. You know, even if they're an unbeliever, we say, well, they're doing pretty good. Everybody needs Jesus Christ. All people need a Savior. Finish here in verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, right? The promised deliverer that will come out of Zion, the Old Testament says. Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God. This one that was promised, the Christ, is here. The Savior has come, He's the Christ, and He is the Lord. The end of verse 11 says, He is the Lord. He is the master of the universe. He is the creator of all. He is Lord over all. He's not just a man like you and I. He's not just a pretty smart man. He's not just a kind of powerful man. He is Lord of all. He is Christ, the Lord, the Lord of all lords, the King of all kings. That's who Jesus Christ is. We must, if we spread the gospel, know who Jesus Christ is. Some people that knock on your doors, Jehovah's Witness, would say, yes, and they share it. It sounds kind of like the gospel that we say, but to them, Jesus Christ is not Lord of all. He's not the King of kings. He's not the master of the universe. He is not God. He's just a man. You know, but He is not God Himself. Jesus Christ is the Lord. By Him, all things were made that were made. In Him, all things consist. Right? He is God manifest in the flesh. We must understand who Jesus Christ is, and He is Lord. And some can say, well, He's not my Lord. Well, yes, He is. He's our Lord whether we like it or not, whether we obey Him or not. He is the Lord. I could have said, and I did have, I don't know if I said the exact words, but in my behavior in school, I mean, I was saying, that teacher can't, they're not my boss. That principal can't, he's not my principal, you know, he's not my authority. So I disobeyed them. Then what happened? They were my authority, right? So they gave me a detention or they set me over here, they did something or other. So no matter what I said, and I could disobey them, but no matter what, that they were still the authority. There was still nothing, they were the authority. If I'd push it and push it, I mean, they could kick me out. They have the authority, right? And that's the way it is with Christ. He is the Lord. Whether we obey Him or not, He is the Lord. And in the end, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's a fact. And that's the fact we need to get out there, is Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is Savior. He is Lord. Some can say, well, I just want to accept Him as my Savior, but not Lord. You know, is Christ divided? Can we pick and choose on Christ? I mean, it's pretty clear He is Christ, the Lord. Unto us was born that day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, the Lord. We want to follow Him who He says He is. He is the Lord. Verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. They've seen an angel. They've been blinded by a great light. And they still, the angels are going to give them a sign. He said, this will be a sign. You'll see a baby lying in a manger, a feeding trough. So as if they needed anything more. If I saw an angel in a great light, I would think I'd be enough. But God gives us many infallible proofs. You know, we can really, we have creation around us. We have the heavens to declare the glory of God. We have what we need to know there's a God, but God gives us more. Right? God gives us a conscience. God writes His law on our hearts so that we know there's a lawgiver. God gives us more in the Bible than He gives us fulfilled prophecies. He gives us, you know, scientific accuracies in the Bible. He gives us then, if we needed more, He gives us Jesus Christ fulfilling all these messianic prophecies. And if we needed more, He gives us Jesus Christ dying, being buried for 3 days, and rising again. He gives us above and beyond what we need to have, you know, the proof. Just like these angels, the shepherds, it's not like they didn't believe, but He said, here's even another sign. And we are given signs, and the sign that we are given that Jesus Christ is who He said He was, is His resurrection. If Jesus Christ is not risen, then our faith's in vain. We're placing our faith and trust in the fact that Jesus rose again. He conquered death. He showed that He had power over death. He had power over sin. And that His salvation is a true salvation. We've trusted Him that has the power to raise again from the dead. And He will raise us. We'll live forever with Him. And so God gives us abundant signs as well. Just like He gave to the shepherds. Verses 13 and 14 we read, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, and so now there's a bunch of, I assume angels could be other type of beings, but there's a multitude of them. They're all They are all praising God, and they're saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So these beings, these heavenly hosts, Gabriel included, this angel included, they are all praising God, giving glory to God, and these beings have been with God. They're in the presence of God all the time, and yet they're still excited about Him. They're excited to give Him glory. Sharon would, and Shelley would love this new piano when it's new, and they're like, that's a great piano. But then the new wears off, and you're kind of just used to the piano. You just play it. For us, things wear down. Things wear off. The new wears off. You're not as excited about it as you once were. Right? Timothy got a new iPod or something. It wears off. But for those in the presence of God, the excitement does not wear off. We have that to look forward to. They're still glorifying God and praising God. And they live in His presence. But the thought of their salvation, of the salvation that's coming to earth, God's plan for saving mankind, just made them give glory to God and to praise Him and to say glory to God in the highest. So we have that to look forward to. Which means it's a totally different place than on earth here. You know, because we do. Things grow old. It's hard to stay excited about something forever. I mean, this sanctuary, when it was flooded and we got it back, we're like, oh, that looks beautiful. Look at those new walls. Anybody remember that we didn't used to have those wood walls there? The start of it, that's beautiful, but now we just take it for granted. You know? But in heaven, it's not going to be that way. It's going to be a totally different place. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. We haven't seen, we haven't heard, we can't even think, we can't even imagine the things that God has planned for those that love Him. So we sometimes can see, you know, the culture around us can say heaven's going to be kind of just this place where you're on clouds playing harps. It's nothing like that. Eye has not even seen. Ear hasn't heard. We can't even imagine what heaven is going to be like, what He's prepared for us. But we get a little glimpse of it right here, these angels and these heavenly hosts so excited about their Lord, about their Creator. And we should be excited about our Lord, our Creator right now. We should, just like we sang earlier, but we should sing. We should praise Him throughout the week, throughout the days. We should thank Him. We should give glory to Him in all that we do. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Jesus Christ came and He made peace between God and man. He made a way for us to have peace with God by dying in our place, sacrificing Himself for us, for our sins. Now we can have peace with God. God showed His goodwill toward men. He showed His love toward mankind. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God showed His goodwill towards us. Goodwill toward men. Verses 15 through 20. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. So now it's dark again. Now there's just crickets. Right? There's just crickets. And they're like, well, what are we going to do? Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. They're not like, well, should we see if it's true? They're like, no, let's go now and see the thing which is come to pass. They know it. Right? Let's just go see it now. They're excited. And so, verse 16, they came with haste. They were in a hurry. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So what was the saying? That unto you that was born this day in the city of David a Savior. So they went out and told them. They didn't just tell them we saw a baby in a manger. They went out and told them the saying that was told unto them that, listen, a Savior has been born. It's Christ, the Lord, the Messiah is here. All these things have been fulfilled. It's Him. He's here and a Savior is born. Why we need a Savior? Because we're sinners. So they made it noised abroad, the saying that was told unto them. So they were the first evangelists, the first ones to go tell the good news. And we all can do the work of an evangelist. We all can tell the good news. We all can voice this and make it known abroad. Verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So some of them, they thought about it. They put it in their heart and they thought about it, which a lot of times happens. If you share the good news, they might say, oh, I'll think about it. They might think you're crazy. They might think I need a Savior, right? And they might come to Jesus Christ for salvation. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. So she's just seeing all these things around her and saying, what a blessing. You know? And all the world after her, we'll call her blessed. She had a blessing to be able to see these things. To see the Christ child in that manger. To see the shepherds come. I'm sure the shepherds told her about the angels and the light. They told us this would be here, and here you are. This is amazing. I mean, the excitement that these shepherds would have had. And the shepherds returned. They had to go back and watch the sheep, right? They couldn't just let their sheep go. So they're doing all as fast as they can. They go with haste here. They go, hey, there's a Savior's born. Got to get back to see the sheep. Let's go back to the sheep. So they get back there because they got to do their job. Right? We can't just take off work and just do stuff. We have a job to do. The shepherds knew that. So they returned. But as they're returning, they were glorifying God and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So that's what we're to noise abroad. We have two examples of the angels coming, the excitement they had, the joy that they had, the message that they gave, and then the shepherds going, giving that same message, noising what they had heard, voicing that abroad. We have this message that a Savior has been born. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. We'll end here in Romans 10. But we see the first proclamation of the gospel. And is that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I mean, that's a microcosm of the gospel. A Savior. Why do you need a Savior? Because we're sinners. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the Lord. He's the Messiah. And He's the Savior. I mean, that's, if we understand those basics, we can go out now. The shepherds didn't take a 9-week discipleship course before they went out and, you know, told somebody. They just told what they were told. And they went and noised it abroad. Romans 10. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you've got to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? So to call on Him, first you have to believe on Him. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Before we can believe in Him, we must hear. So we must hear, then believe, then call. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody must tell another person. God has entrusted the gospel to us. The good news of great joy, which is to all people, God's given to us. So we must go and tell so they can hear, so they can believe, and then call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And how shall they preach except they be sent? And God has sent each one of us. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are sent to go and do that. We're to be ambassadors for Christ. We're to do the work of an evangelist. So we are told to do this. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, and this is where we began, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We should take our feet and go. Go over to somebody and preach the gospel of peace. The peace that God made by sending His Son down to die for our sins so that we can have peace with God. Preach this peace and bring glad tidings of good things, which is about what the angel told them. That's what the angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And so we must know what the gospel is. And I think we do. I think we understand the gospel of our salvation. Sinners in need of a Savior. And God has provided His Son for us. Jesus died for our sins. And we can be redeemed by recognizing our sin, repenting towards God, and putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And it's for all. It's for rich and poor, old and young, healthy, weak. It's for all. All people need a Savior. So let us, as the angels did, as the shepherds did, deliver these good tidings. Deliver the good news. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Go preach the gospel to every creature. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may we do this. May we keep this in mind and keep this in the forefront of our minds, that we are here to spread this good news that has been the good news of our salvation, but that others cannot be saved unless they hear. They can't call on whom they have not believed, and who can't believe on whom they have not heard. So help us to preach this and to teach this and to tell the good news just as the angels told the shepherds and the shepherds told others. And Lord, I just ask that You bless our work as we do that. And Lord, we know that we can spread the seed, and You will water it. You will make it grow, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray for good soil in the hearts that we go out and tell the good news about. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.